Afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Windows on the World. Great to be with you from the UK. This is Mark Windows. Yes, we have plenty to talk about today. Under the cover of COVID, the new system is being put into place and all the testing, biometric ID rollout and COVID passports are a messy front end to the Great Reset. I can hear the producer in the background. I don't know whether I'm meant to be hearing her. So I can hear is the producer talking in the background. So I'll carry on. I don't know whether you can hear them or you can hear me. We'll see. The global health security system is what few are talking about. So they are protesting against distraction issues such as the virus, lockdown, masks and more. All of this is a rehearsal for the official rollout of the new global health security system and the smart cities. You know, those resilient, vibrant and diverse gulags monitored by, yes, computer gamers. We've talked about this in our recent shows. That's why none of it is making any sense anymore. It doesn't have to, as it is exercise in, yes, compliance testing. The big communitarian society is the real virus, the virus of the mind, managed by artificial intelligence. The problem is it doesn't work and it will not ultimately human interference in artificial intelligence. The level of compliance needed has to be absolute. That's according to its engineers. The overarching surveillance, the real-time computer game, has to be operated by those who have a narrow view of everything. The Great Reset has been well planned, but the execution is still being practiced. In June 2019, it was announced that UN Forum Partnership was signed in a meeting held at United Nations headquarters between UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, World Economic Founder and Executive Chairman Klaus Schwab, to accelerate implementation of the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. The partnership identifies six areas of focus: finance, Agenda 2030, change, health, digital cooperation, gender equality, empowerment for women, education and skills, to strengthen and broaden their combined impact by building on existing and new collaborations. What this actually means is control of minds through propaganda and psychological steering, the use of diversity to silence any opposition, control of all resources by corporations, huge taxation, destroy all financial independence that you ever had, the new biometric ID system to restrict movement and free trade, the new global health system to track, trace and monitor the population in real time as part of a live computer gaming scheme. Yes, so I don't know what the producers are doing, but they're talking in the background. This has never happened before. Don't know whether they can hear me or even whether the listeners can hear me at all. So, yes, let's have techno tyranny instead.
Oh, God.
Okay. So, yes, my first guest and my only guest today. I don't know whether anybody out there can hear me. As I said, this has never happened before. And all this I could hear for the first 5 minutes was the producers chatting in the background. Maybe they've gone now. Oh, that's great. They've been quiet. So, just in time for our guest today, Magda Taylor of the informedparent.co.uk. The Informed Parent was originally set up in September 1992 to counter frustration and isolation experienced by parents in their efforts to seek information about immunisation, following uncertainty about its safety and effectiveness. Now, I've known Magda for a few years, and Magda actually organised a talk for us down in Worthing on the South Coast, and we were going to use the Quaker Meeting House, and we thought the Quakers would be a progressive and advanced organisation and would be more than happy to have an open-minded talk about globalisation. But no, they cancelled it because they said we were climate change deniers, and we had to go somewhere else. In fact, the day was a roaring success. And I've just checked on the local area map, and it appears that Worthing is a little bit against vaccination, a little bit more against vaccination than other areas in the UK. So this may have something to do with the influence of our guest, Magda Taylor. Are you there, Magda?
Yes, I am, actually. Yeah, I managed to get the producers to mute. I sent them a message because they were overwhelming your opening speech.
Well, it was a bit off-putting because I'm actually using a headset today. I don't usually use a headset, but because I'm using a headset, it meant that I couldn't really take it off, so I couldn't hear them because the microphone's attached to the headset. So I had to listen to their conversation. And in a way, they had to listen to mine. So when we hear this back, it should be quite interesting to see how it sounds and also to see if anyone's still listening. So, yeah, it's exactly. 6 minutes past eight. We have had these problems before. Usually it's from my end because of poor reception or me being out in the middle of the country. But thank you, dear listener, for, sticking with us if you have done so far. So, Magda, I think you should give us a little introduction. Tell us about yourself, the informed parent, how did it come about, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, actually, it's all down to the London Evening Standard because, despite them being mainstream media, back in 1991, they published a very, very interesting, thought-provoking two-page article called Vaccination, the Hidden Facts. And it was just a random situation of me just flicking through the journal that they, ES, I think they probably still do it, a magazine once a week, and I just happened to flick through and then suddenly faced with this article on vaccines. And I never questioned it before. I just kind of grew up believing it was a good thing. And I'd already started with my two daughters. I'd let them have the baby ones. But it was such a good article and it left me wanting to know more. It struck an enormous kind of chord inside, and I thought, I've got to know. And of course, there was no internet. You couldn't Google anything in those days. And you had to even send a stamp address envelope to get hold of a suggested reading list, you know. So I got the list, and then I started to sort of plough my way through all the books on the list because I was never the type to just read something and change my mind. I was thinking, surely this can't be right, you know. So I came from a bias of thinking vaccines were a good thing. So I wasn't looking to, you know, people say, oh, well, you find the information that you're looking for. Well, I wasn't. I was just looking for any information. So the first year I was just basically reading as much as I could between being a mum with two little daughters, and then of course you start mentioning it here and there, and then I got put in touch with even a doctor who questioned it, and eventually met three other mothers dotted around the country, and we kind of all had kind of learned, you know, kind of at some point in our parenthood, and two of them had actually, while they were pregnant, looked into it. So they hadn't had their children vaccinated. I was the only one who had partially vaccinated. And so between us, we thought, well, let's put something together. So at the very least, people should make an informed choice. And it was less, you know, these days, it's a nightmare to be a new parent because at least in the 90s, you didn't have the same pressure as now. It's really changed. And also, you didn't have so many vaccines. There were just a triple and a polio, oral polio, and they were spread out 3, 6, and 9 months. So now, 2, 3, and 4 months, if you break down all the sort of 6 in 1 and all that, you end up with 24 different kind of doses in the first few months of life. And constantly they're bringing in more and more. And it's been much more like snowballed in the last 2 decades, really. But you know, this whole vaccine thing kicked off more in the 90s, sort of about a couple of years after I started looking into it, because then there was this whole thing on MMR coming out. But, you know, I always say to people, it's not about individual vaccines, you know, look into the whole thing, the whole procedure, because it's, you know, when you look at the background of it, doesn't matter if it's for measles or whatever. The procedure's the same for all of them. And this whole question of, you know, does a germ cause a disease? You know, when you go to the background, a lot of these things, they're all scientific assumptions. So
yeah, we've covered that with Jim McComiskey, and he has a great book out called the Biomedical Paradigm.
Right.
It's called The Biggest Conspiracy.
Mm.
And Jim actually wrote to the National Virus Research Laboratory in Dublin and the UK to find out whether this new COVID-19 had actually been isolated as a virus and followed the procedures which it's meant to. And there's no evidence it has whatsoever. They couldn't supply any evidence because they said that they do not purify viruses.
Yeah, exactly.
And of course, vaccines were called vaccine viruses, virus vaccines, weren't they, when they started?
Well, I mean, the word vaccination came actually from vacca, the Latin for the cow, because with Jenner's vaccine, he came up with using pus from cowpox rather than pus from smallpox. So it was seen at that time as less harmful, even though there's no kind of relationship really with them anyway. But so this whole word vaccination really came from that Latin term. But of course, it's now just a generic term for every vaccine that come, you know, that comes into the schedule, or, you know, they've got pipeline of many, many other vaccines that they'd like us to all roll our sleeves up and have. So,
yes, my grandfather actually was an anti-vaxxer in the 50s, found this out quite recently, and he said, "You're not injecting my family with cowpox." That's actually what he said, and he wouldn't answer the door and wouldn't let the children have any vaccinations whatsoever.
Well, so,
it's not a new thing. I mean, it's interesting as well, because since the early 1900s, there's been a lot of anti-vaccination material available. So it was controversial even at the time. And I think a lot of people forget about that, don't they?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I laugh when they say, oh, Andrew Wakefield's the father of the anti-vaccine movement. I mean, he came in right near the sort of latter part of the 1990s. And, I mean, it was since 1802 was when Parliament started to get forward in money to Jenner. And even then, for his kind of idea, and it wasn't like a majority in the House of Commons. He only got this award, which was £10,000 in 1802, so around sort of 700,000 of today's money, by 56 votes, for 59 to 56. So it was very close. They even kind of was given this grant, and then he applied for a further grant in 1807, and he got another 20,000, you know, and that was public money. So they always use our money to do all their policies. And, you know, it was a time when there was a lot of scarcity. And there's, you know, fantastic literature out there. What I've done on my on the website now, I've sort of set up an archive library and put lots of free downloads, and you can full books or, you know, publications, and they range from, you know, mid 1800s up till mid 1950s. So and a lot of, you know, doctors and scientists, you see, so it wasn't like your ordinary folk. Even, you know, there were a lot of public people that were really concerned, because they watched their children, their babies die after the vaccine. So, but, you know, the anti-vaccine movement that sort of appeared in the mid-1800s, there was a lot of doctors and scientists involved, and they never had anything to gain from speaking out. You know, they had everything to lose. I mean, they were victimized just the same as people like Andrew Wakefield is now, but he certainly wasn't the start of it. It's been going on ever since. You know, the reports after they introduced it in the early 1800s, within a few years, reports were coming in that it was causing all sorts of problems. And, you know, again, of course, they come out with the same kind of excuses like they do now. They sort of blame anything but the vaccine. Oh, you know, your child must have a pre-existing something or other. Oh, you know, in those days, because they were much, the way they used to give them was a lot cruder than now. You know, Jenner was coming out with all sorts of nonsensical excuses for why they were failing or causing problems. You know, even things like, oh, you took too much of the pus out of the pustule, or you shouldn't have used it. It should only be carried out on healthy children without any skin problems, or you must have, the matter in the pus must have decomposed and you should have used it earlier, or all sorts of ridiculous things. And of course, you know, when you look at how they used to dish them out in those days, they were doing all sorts of different methods and even sending dried pus little bit on like threads in the post, and you know, to somewhere else for them to use it. You know, it was crazy. So I can't urge people enough to start reading this old stuff, because it was clear from then that there was loads of health issues. And you know, instead of the public health people of those days, like the Epidemiological Society they were called, instead of them listening to all these concerns, they just rather would push and push until they brought in a Vaccine Act in 1853 and made it mandatory. So you had to have your baby by the age of 3 months vaccinated, otherwise you got fined or you would go to prison. And you know, they stuck with that for a while, but people were prepared to go to prison or fine or pay the fine. But then they stupidly only made the fine once in a lifetime, you see, so they couldn't penalise them every year. They could only, you know, fine them that first year. So then they decided, right, in 1868, let's do a tougher law where we can actually fine you annually until your child reaches 14 years old. So you can imagine if the size families they used to have, 10, 12 children or whatever, and they didn't want any of them vaccinated, well, they would have to cough up a lot of money annually to avoid that, or serve a prison sentence. You know, that's how bad it was in that period, and people don't realise.
Yeah, it's been controversial for a very long time, and there have been people opposing it and actually proving that there were many flaws in the argument for vaccination for even longer. Yes, yeah. I've got some papers that go back to the early 1900s, and they are absolutely slating the idea of vaccination. And yeah, of course, the whole idea of what you're talking about came in the 90s. You were talking about the 90s when you really started getting aware of this. Of course, in 1990, the United Nations started their mission to get everybody in the world registered under the Births, Deaths Registration Act, and to have a birth certificate in every country on the planet. That was the beginning of the track and trace. And of course, it's accelerated from there.
Yes.
And now we have immunization is one of the biggest parts of the agenda, which is why it is being pushed. And the whole idea of my introduction really was to get people sort of comfortable with what we were going to be talking about, which was why this has happened. The framework for it is the Great Reset, the Fourth Industrial Revolution. It's these elite think tanks, the World Economic Forum, the United Nations, who joined up last year and have been in partnership. If you listen to the things these people are saying, vaccination is a huge part of it. So that's the first bit over, and we'll see you after the break. This is Windows on a Whirl with me, Mark Windows, with Magda Taylor of the informedparent.co.uk. See you after the break.
Home homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Extend your life with Extendovite. After about a month of Extendovite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, this is amazing. Bilberry extract has got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight. And I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an energy planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an energy cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an energy cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
My true love was true. Welcome back to Windows on the World. Today I'm talking to Magda Taylor of the informedparent.co.uk, and we're talking about the bigger picture of the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, which is of course part of the COVID-19 Global Action Plan, as stated in the Great Reset, and of course the Fourth Industrial Revolution. And these are publications which are from the World Economic Forum. Klaus Schwab and Thierry Malleret actually wrote The Great Reset. And some of the quotes from that book are quite astonishing. These technocrats really do want us all immunized and under control in a computer gaming kind of system, which is being overlooked by technocrats. Yes, it says here the UN Forum Partnership was signed in a meeting held at United Nations headquarters between UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres and World Economic Founder and Executive Chairman Klaus Schwab to accelerate the implementation of the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. The partnership identifies six areas of focus: financing the 2030 Agenda, which of course includes immunization for all, and our right. We have a right to have a biometric ID. Isn't that good of them? Climate change, of course, which is never going away, because that was the idea in the first place. The climate's always changing, so there's always going to be something to worry about. Health, digital cooperation, of course, health, meaning immunization, gender equality, which is basically using diversity as a weapon, empowerment of women, which is basically going into communities and splitting them up, education and skills, which is, of course, indoctrination into common core to dumb everyone down, to strengthen and broaden their combined impact by building on existing and new collaborations, which is NGOs taking over more and more infrastructure in more and more countries for the Great Reset and the Fourth Industrial Revolution. So before the break, we were talking all about the history of vaccination, and that vaccination is not a new thing, and the opposition to vaccination is also not a new thing. So people who are anti-vaxxer now are coming from a rich history of anti-vaccination, including, of course, as I said in the beginning of the show, my grandfather, we found out he was an anti-vaxxer. So it must run in the family. I must be one of these people who want to be left behind, Magda. And maybe you're one of those people who wants to be left behind.
Oh, I mean, I yes, well, behind, I don't know what, but, you know, now, having known after all these nearly three decades of studying this subject, I would never dream of having a vaccine of my own choice. Obviously, we don't know how heavy they're going to behave towards us. But, you know, it took the British public in 1800s 45 years from 1853 to 1898, after a lot of protests and speaking out and publishing all sorts of pamphlets to spread round to the population, they finally got the Parliament to buckle, and they introduced the conscientious objector clause. So, you know, this then gave you the opportunity to say, no thanks, thank you, but no thanks. And, of course, they said it was a temporary clause because they thought, well, if they stop the vaccines, there's going to be a huge increase in smallpox, so then they could justify bringing it back in again. But unfortunately, much to their surprise, smallpox actually started disappearing. The less vaccinated, the less smallpox. You know, you can't make this stuff up, and it's all out there to read. But we don't really want to spend 45 years from now fighting all this again. So that's why I encourage all the time people to look into it, because they, like you say, this great reset. With the vaccine issue, they've chosen a very convenient window of opportunity with this so-called COVID story, because they decided in the year, every year, all mammals, you know, going from changing from seasons, from winter to spring, and then leaving the summer, going from autumn to winter. And there's two peak times annually for flu-like, cold-like, all these kind of illnesses. And they're the spring and autumn equinox. So, you know, interesting that smack in the middle of March, when you have the spring equinox and you have natural number of all sorts of viral activity, which is the body chucking stuff out as you go into the season of growth, suddenly there's this COVID pandemic. And then now we're seeing all this sort of second lockdowns and spikes coming, and it's just conveniently coming to the autumn equinox, when we also get a peak of colds. And, you know, when children go back to school and they say, oh, they've got colds and they're spreading them around. Well, no, it's a natural time for mammals to throw out rubbish, because you're preparing to go into hibernation, you know. So
yes, that's a really good point, and one that we've been covering actually in a couple of the shows, when we've been talking about what viruses are and what they aren't. And also the new German medicine, very fascinating. It's really helped me to understand a lot more about how this stuff works, because it makes a lot more sense. We've reached another break, so we'll be back in a couple of minutes. I'm with Magda Taylor, and we're going to be talking more about vaccination, stroke immunization, and our right to a digital ID and vaccination after the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
so, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the Red Pill.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back to Windows on the World. We're talking immunization. It's your right and it's your duty. No one will be left behind. Why are you being so selfish? We don't want any outliers. Everybody must comply. No one will be left behind. But the UK government wants now to immunize, actually test, and which I think will come with immunisation, because that is very much on the horizon. They want to do 10 million tests a day for coronavirus. And this is this Operation Moonshot, which is preparing us for the mass vaccination programme. And I don't think the uptake has been that good so far. You do see these queues of people who are queuing up to be tested, but the accuracy of the numbers is something that I do tend to question, because the testing stations have all been pretty empty so far, and most people in their local area don't even know where the testing stations are. So this Operation Moonshot, you wanted to talk a bit about that, Magda. It is a bit strange, isn't it?
Well, it's, I mean, firstly, I was very sort of fascinated why call it Moonshot. It's a very, you know, we could, someone would probably come up with some stories behind that, but I mean, the British Medical Journal published something, Operation Moonshot, what do the leaked documents say, you know? And of course, like you say, they're proposing this mass testing scheme, and which is going to cost an absolute fortune. What is it? 10 billion, isn't it? That's right. I think 10 billion.
The mass testing programme would cost $100 billion, almost
$100 billion.
Government spends on the NHS each year, which is $130 billion.
I mean, where are they going to get all this?
Yeah. That's seen by the medical journal. That was in the British Medical Journal, that. But a separate document revealed there were plans to grow the UK's testing capacity from the current 350,000 a day up to 10 million a day by early 2021. Now, what they want to do is they want to test teachers every week and all this kind of thing. Yeah. And they want to test so-called key workers probably up to every day. Somebody I know who just came out of hospital said they were testing him for coronavirus every hour. So they are desperate to get these numbers up. And those swab tests look very uncomfortable to me. And you have to worry about what's on those swabs. Am I a conspiracy theorist, Magda? What do you think?
No, absolutely. I mean, apart from the other tests, I mean, the PCR tests, I mean, some scientists and doctors have been speaking out for the last few months saying, well, hang on a minute. This was never designed as a diagnostic tool. The guy who, he said, although he unfortunately passed away last year, we could do with him now, to say, don't use my test for diagnosis. And like you said earlier, considering they haven't even isolated the virus, so they're only using sort of, they can pick up some kind of fragment of a genetic sequence. And we all, as mammals, we all have viral activity going on every day of our lives. So, you know, if they keep amplifying the test amplifies, they're going to pick it up in everyone. So, but that doesn't mean you're ill. So they keep saying, oh, there's all these cases, when actually it's just so-called positive test results, which are unreliable testing. Plus, what are they testing for if they haven't ever isolated this so-called virus, which they've never also ever witnessed under an electron microscope, to actually enter a cell and cause infection? You know, it's endless. It's like at every level, it's an assumption. So, but you know, the same paper you were mentioning, I mean, it says at the bottom here on the BMJ, are there any plans to get the public on board so that there's discussions how to incentivize people? You know, they're looking all the time, how can we persuade them all to come and line up and all this? And, you know, and of course they're going to start restricting us if we test or, you know, we get a result where we're not allowed to go somewhere anymore, or we have to stay in until we test okay. You know, it's like, what's it, traffic lights, you know, stay in if it's red and amber and is well debatable and green, oh yes, you can go out and all this. But it's really a very sinister kind of angle that they're all the time, they're never saying to the public, actually, yes, there are some concerns and we'd like to hear them and let's talk about them. It's totally all...
Well, it's psychological steering to an intended outcome. And the whole point is that it's got nothing really to do with the virus. It's to do with the end result. And this is the important thing, that the whole thing has to be looked at as strategic intelligence, which is what the World Economic Forum call it on their own website. So what they're doing here is they're steering the public into the intended outcome. So how do you do that? Well, you can persuade them to do it, or you can scare them into it. Yeah. So you can persuade them into it to start with, but then you have to scare them into it. And it's called future shock. The whole idea of this is it's been psychologically rolled out. So we have, at first, we have psychological steering and nudging, which is basically getting people to work with group dynamics. In other words, you're either with us or you're with the terrorists. Why are you being so selfish? Why are you so full of hate? rest of it. And if that doesn't work, well, we'll have to scare you into it. Yeah. And if that doesn't work, well, we'll have to hold you down and inject you ourselves. You know what I mean? It's kind of obvious when you think about it. There's just different levels of intimidation. So there's coercion to start with. Then there is something which is a little more kind of nudging, and then it gets into threats and menaces. I mean, it's the way every mafia works.
Yeah.
We don't want to hurt you. We want you to go along with it. But if you don't go along with it, well, we're going to have to hurt you. It's kind of simple, really, isn't it? It's like, well, do you want to do it the easy way or the hard way?
Yes.
And that's all always, it is.
They always say it's for your own benefit and your safety. And, you know...
Well, Magda, I think you're being a bit selfish here, because everyone has the right to a digital identity and everyone has the right to immunisation. And what you're doing there is you're denying people their human rights. Do you realise that?
Exactly. Well, you know, I don't mind as long as we have choice, because if those people want to have these things, fine with me. But as long as we, people who don't, we can say no thanks. And we'll see who you know, is the healthier, because, you know, it's unbelievable that even with the ordinary vaccines before COVID came along, in the last, you know, few years, they've been using all this terminology, vaccine hesitancy, vaccine deniers. And, you know, hesitancy, they started to talk about it. There was a psychologist at University of Edinburgh talking about it was almost like a mental illness, you know, people who question it. And we, how, what sort of methods can we bring them round to realise that they're actually not understanding it all, and that they should be vaccinated and all this. And this is the kind of tactics, like you say, they're using all the time. And
well, it's just basically, it's a psychological warfare programme, and they're trying it all out in real time. We're in the middle of a big exercise, really. And that's patently obvious when you look at how ridiculous it all is when it's rolled out. So we could gather up to 30 people last week, and this week it's only 6. But the virus is kind of finished. It's gone. They keep trying to prop it up. But however much they try, they're still not going to be able to argue with the facts that whatever it was is no more. And they're talking about the second wave and the manufacturing of it and all that. They've got a lot at stake here, so they're not going to back off with this. And I think it's kind of interesting, because the whole thing is really just a psychological warfare game. That's all it is. It has been getting a bit heavy in Australia, but this was all in that Future of Technology document by the Rockefellers, which was put out in 2014, when they talk about this lockstep. Now, what was interesting about this, Magda, was in that document, they were basically saying that people would demand more security. So in other words, the more you frighten them, the more security they want. But it hasn't really worked out like that, because, in my opinion, everything these technocrats do is pretty rubbish, really. I mean, it doesn't really matter what it is. When you look at it and how it's rolled out, it's pretty ineffective. I mean, with all the resources at their disposal, you would think they could do better at scaring people to death, but they're not doing that. The whole thing's falling apart. And yes, we've got this Operation Moonshot thing, which we referred to, and it's going to be rolled out by GSK, AstraZeneca, Serco and G4S. Now, Serco and G4S are about as inefficient as it gets at a corporate level. So I think there's a huge problem here, because the people and the corporations that are rolling it out are known to be ineffective and not very good at what they're doing. And I think what's going to happen is, in the future, you're going to say, oh, God, I need a COVID test. Can you do us one? Yeah, we've got. So you want to clear yourself for a flight? No problem, sir. There you go. Have one of those. I think that's what they'll do eventually, because I can't see that this is going to be successful, because it hasn't been successful so far, in my view.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just one lie on top of another, isn't it? And conflicting information as well. You know, it's everything all the way along. They say one thing, and next minute they're saying something different. And you know, I have noticed, just in the even BBC, they had a program the other day, and it was 8 minutes. A professor based at University of Edinburgh, Richard Enos, and he was really I thought it was amazing. 8 minutes. He was just really pulling it the whole operation apart, saying that the government reaction is just so unjustifiable. And, a lot of other scientists have likened it all to just a sort of bit of a nasty flu season type of thing. And, you know, the lockdown itself is going to have a much greater effect on. And this professor actually pointed these kind of things out. He was saying, you know, these policies that have been adopted just goes against, you know, logical thinking. And
well, it's not about logical thinking, is it? It's about agenda. So,
well, I know. I think
anything that doesn't actually isolate the issue misses the point. So, in my view, people are going on about, oh, I don't want to wear a mask, I don't want to do this, I don't want to lock down. Well, that's kind of irrelevant, because you don't have to wear a mask and you don't have to be locked down. As I say, I mean, obviously, we have a few places where it's getting quite brutal, in Australia, for instance. But really, you can go anywhere you want. There is no lockdown, and they can't lock anywhere down unless they do it properly. And everything about this, well, in the UK, has been completely half-hearted. Mm. There has never been a lockdown, and there has always been confusion as to what is going on and what you can do. They are really relying on the public to police each other, which is why we're now getting this information coming through from the government, people like Priti Patel saying, yes, if you see more than six people, report them, which she actually contradicted later on, because she originally said, well, I wouldn't do that. And then she said, yes, do it. But the point is that the whole of this communitarian system works on the compliance of the public. So you have to psychologically steer them and then threaten them and give them mental abuse to get them to work as part of the collective. And it's all about collectivism. So this is how it's played. And it's played in a very simplistic way, I think, because it's always played as, why are you being so selfish? You want to be left behind. You want to live in the dark ages. Things have moved on. These are not arguments. These are logical fallacies. They don't make any sense. And neither does anything about this. The only thing that makes sense is the actual plan itself, which is this technocratic future, which they want us to have in the present. Because the whole point of this virus and the COVID-19 action plan, certificate of vaccination ID, and to bring in the biometrics, that's all it's been there for. And the new infrastructure, the Internet of Things, the Smart Cities Network, the Resilient Cities and all the rest of it, and everything that we've been reporting on for the past 15 years has been accelerated by years in the last 6 months.
Sure. Well, I noticed they're using similar terms, you know, in the zero carbon they want. Now they're zero COVID policy, you know, they want to completely wipe out this so-called alleged virus that it's invisible, we can't see it, but they tell us it's there, and they have never isolated, but we've got to believe that it does exist. So the only thing zero will be people if they carry on the way they're going. It seems like that would be their main policy, to get rid of us all if they
So it's mainly a depopulation program. I mean, that's clearly what it says in the documentation. It always has been about control and management of population. And that is the end game of the whole thing. So when you look at it practically, it's all pretty obvious. And yeah, the way that it's being accelerated now, with respect that it's died off, makes it even more absurd, because the whole thing has become half-hearted. And the idea that everybody is going to be queuing up for the vaccination is a little bit far-fetched. I mean, what's your thought on that?
Well, I mean, saying half-hearted, because all these, that's why they keep bumping up the figures best they can with the so-called cases, which are actually just test results. And of course, it's like I say, it's coming up to that time of the year where we do have more flu-like, cold-like illnesses. So they could then club that together and say, oh gosh, there is this spike and all that. I mean, the vaccine, it's weird, really. I mean, one minute they say, oh, we're going to rush it through. Then they say, oh, there won't be one ready. And of course, in the States, it's quite funny now. Trump is saying he's going to have one ready for October. And then the Democrats are now saying, oh, that's too quick. I mean, there's vaccine. That they're starting to sort of criticise vaccines to say you shouldn't use these things, rushing them through like this. So it's all kind of like a crazy Monty Python sketch, you know. I mean, it seems to me, judging by comments here and there on social media, a lot of people would be quite concerned about having the vaccine, even ones that would generally have other vaccines. I think, and you know, with this public consultation, that the deadline's tomorrow at midnight, where they're wanting to rush through this paper to say that they can rush through an unlicensed vaccine, and that the producers can have immunity for, you know, from any legal problems, if any side effects or reactions, you can't sue them. But then they say, but it's for the greater good, because they've got to rush it in because to try and save us all, so that least they can do is give the producers immunity for being so kind as to rush through this vaccine, you know.
Yeah, that is really outrageous. I mean, that's the icing on the cake, isn't it? We'll be back for the last part of the show in a couple of minutes. I'm with Magda Taylor of the informedparents.co.uk.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Winners on the World here with Magda Taylor of the Informed Parent or informedparent.co.uk. I hope you're an informed parent if you're a parent out there. But get this. This is from the World Health Organization website. Immunization is a global health and development success story, saving millions of lives every year. What do you say to that, Magda?
There's absolutely no proof of that because, you know... Diseases had all declined, So the more healthy we were in terms of how we lived and the clean water and all these things that were the reason we had all these declines, well, no one was going to get all these things anyway. So it's easy to say now, oh, we've saved you. But how do you prove that that person, if they hadn't had a vaccine, would have had these diseases? You
see, well, I think what's interesting, Magda, is that the measles and smallpox was already in decline when they introduced the vaccine. So as the diseases were declining, the vaccine was brought in. So they then pitted that with the decline, as if the vaccines were responsible for the decline in the disease, which of course they weren't when you look at the actual figures and facts there.
Absolutely. And it wasn't just those two. I mean, diphtheria, tuberculosis, whooping cough, scarlet fever, all these things were coming down at the same rate during the 1800s. And it's funny, the one that stopped in its tracks and then there was a sort of threefold increase was the smallpox. And that was the only one they vaccinated for. So, you know, but what was great also, scarlet fever, that accounted for the greatest number of deaths in children at the end of the 1800s. But it was because of all these improvements in, as I said, housing, living conditions, all that water, clean water, sanitation, you know, that actually started to decline even more rapidly. And by the 1930s, even though they had been working on a scarlet fever vaccine, they couldn't bring it. It wasn't any point. There was no justification because it had already sort of died a death in terms of any, you know, high mortality or anything. So it's great that they didn't ever put in a vaccine for the scarlet fever, because you can say, well, hang on, they were all declining the same. And how come scarlet fever didn't shoot up? We didn't vaccinate. You know, there's so much evidence. I can't urge people enough, start digging deep. And there's lots and lots of good literature out there that shows all these declines. You know, we've been led. It's just, they can say what they like because they don't have to prove it. They just make these statements.
I've been looking into that for years. Yeah, I mean, the thing is, when you look at these word salads they put out, they frame everything as though it is a benefit. And it's also enabling you to have a happier, healthier future. For instance, it says, immunization is the foundation of the primary healthcare system and an indisputable human right. Well, you can't get any more logical fallacy than that, can you? You can't get more of a false argument than that. Those two claims. Immunization is the foundation of the primary healthcare system. Well, it's the foundation of the pharmaceutical industry to get everybody vaccinated. Of course it is, because that's where the money is. Yeah. And that's why they've rolled out this COVID-19. I mean, a lot of it is about the financial side of things. And there's so much more we could have covered, but we'll do that next time. Thanks to Magda Taylor, informedparent.co.uk. Mark Windows here of windowsontheworld.net. See you next Tuesday. Do actually have a look at my website. Check out our weekend shows too.
Hear ye, ConstitutionOnTrial.com presents the most important question for our generation. Is the United States Constitution biblical? Witness the prosecution and defense of the United States Constitution on trial, live and unscripted at the Maranatha Retreat Center in Everton, Missouri, and streamed live on YouTube. For the prosecution, Ted Weiland, pastor, Bible teacher, and author of Bible Law versus the United States Constitution, The Christian Perspective. Versus for the defense, Brent Allen Winters, a practicing lawyer and author of Excellence of Common Law in Light of History, Nature, and Scripture. Is the United States Constitution biblical? live and unscripted at the Maranatha Retreat Center in Everton, Missouri, and live streamed on YouTube. Saturday, September 19th from 6:30 till 9:30 p.m. Come one, come all. This most important event is free to attend and streamed live on YouTube. Go to constitutionontrial.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.